Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. Thanks very much for joining me. Thanks for hanging out with me. My pleasure to continue to be with you. As always, I'm Jim Blasingame, and you're listening to the Small Business Advocate Show, and I'm glad you're here. Alan Friedman is with us, ladies and gentlemen. Alan is an original member of our Brain Trust. We've had three original members, three 98 models on the show today. Pat Weber first, and Alan Friedman now, and Mike Menzies next. These are all people who joined me in the first year of the Brain Trust. That makes him a founding member, well, along with me, of the Brain Trust. And Alan is editor-in-chief of the Computer Desktop Encyclopedia, he's the world's expert on computer nomenclature and technology, and more importantly, though, he's our good friend. Alan, welcome back to the show.
Good morning, Jim. Does that make me one of your oldest?
I think you actually might be.
I might be.
Let me tell you something. Austin Kiplinger has got you beat by far.
Oh, yeah.
Austin is, let's see, 5+. He was born in 17, I think.
Oh, you're kidding.
1970. Yeah, he's on my show once or twice a year.
Oh, well, I'm a baby.
Yeah, so he's in his 90s.
I'm a baby.
Yeah, he's like 91 or something like that, and yeah, he's. I tell you what, though, you and I don't want to go. We don't want to play games with that guy. He's a sharp guy.
Oh yeah, well, I should only hope to attain that at that age.
No kidding. No, listen, he's my hero. He's amazing.
Yeah.
Austin Kiplinger, folks, is a national treasure. But Alan, that's something you and I could hope to, we hope to become one day, maybe a national treasure. But in the meantime, let's talk about this year. What's coming at us in 2010? Give us the news. I know one of the things you want to report on is the new Windows operating system.
Well, that's already out. I mean, in 2 days, I'm going to the Consumer Electronics Show in Las Vegas.
Right.
There's going to be all kinds of interesting new things that I'll be able to report on, so I'll come back and tell you about it. I've been spending a lot of time on Windows 7
mm-hmm.
because I have to put in the encyclopedia the differences between Vista and 7 and XP.
Vista's like gone, right? It's not even available anymore, is it?
Vista wasn't terribly popular, and the reason why is it took a lot of hardware resources. Corporations didn't buy into it because it wouldn't run as well on the existing hardware. You really needed upgrades. But what's happened is that that's a couple of years ago that it came out,
mm-hmm.
and your hardware gets older and gets time to replace the hardware. So if it's time to replace the hardware, then Windows 7 comes along. I think it's good timing. I'm more impressed than I thought I would be.
Right. Well,
yeah.
You after Vista, and you being such a such a discerning evaluator, I could see where you know a system, any kind of technology, would have to really be sharp to impress you, and so you know I use XP,
mm-hmm.
and have been for a long time, but I'm probably going to be buying a new piece of equipment, a new computer for myself in the next month or two. And
well,
you recommend that I should get the 7?
Oh, absolutely, absolutely.
Tell me why.
Well, there are a lot of refinements that are good. There are a lot of refinements that are not good in the sense that you have to relearn them. I mean, one of the problems that Microsoft does all the time is that it doesn't refine the same thing. It doesn't actually refine. In the concept of refinement, it changes, and they call that a refinement.
Right.
So you have to learn
something
new. Give us
an example.
New.
Give
it's
us a refinement example.
Of menu items all over the place. You know,
yeah.
In XP, the menu selection was here. In Vista, it was over there. And in Win 7, it's somewhere else. And the names change.
Mm-hmm.
My documents changed to documents in Vista. And it went back to my documents
mm-hmm.
in Windows 7. That is the part that is really, it's kind of sad. And it's really sad for the support reps in companies that have to support XP, Vista, and Windows 7.
Right.
Not so much for the user who eventually learns the new stuff, But for people that have to look at all these different platforms day in and day out, it's a little tricky.
Well, I'll tell you something, Alan. The technology industry is its own worst enemy.
Absolutely.
If there were any other options, the technology, if there were some other parallel universe, we would all go to that because, and the reason I say that is because, and I studied this, folks. I actually was on an international committee of people who studied what was called the technology gap. And the technology gap is between how the industry defines things, how they identify things, and how you really prefer to hear them. I'll give you an example. I used to have BlackBerry until this recently. I had a BlackBerry for years.
Mm-hmm.
And do you know what the command was to go get email now?
No.
To reload, if you didn't want to wait the 5 minutes or whatever before your email reloaded and picked up your new email,
right?
You know what the command is?
What?
Reconcile now.
Uh-huh.
Reconcile now.
Uh-huh.
Now, I figured that out, but nobody told me. But why didn't it just say get email now?
Well, that's a good question.
See, my point, but that's an example, folks, of how the technology industry is its own worst enemy and why it's so maddening for people. And as you said, I mean, look at Bluetooth. What does Bluetooth mean?
The king of Denmark.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, how stupid is that?
That's not bad. You know, some of these words, like even the made-up ones, like Google, are actually easy to remember than taking everyday words.
Right.
Google was
a new brand, and I get that. I understand that's their own brand. But the functional tools that you use, anyway, I just think that that they're their own worst enemy. Now we actually upgraded to the new Office suite.
Uh-huh.
At Microsoft.
Uh-huh.
And so the word, for example, the Word program has different categories in the files. Is that going to help me convert a little bit over? Is that going to help me a little bit?
Is that going to help you?
Yeah, meaning because it's set up differently. The Word file looks different than the old Word file does.
Well, it's not all that bad. And once again, there are improvements that you have to learn. This is just always the issue. There are improvements. I won't say they don't get
right.
better. They really do. I mean, you know, 25 years ago, we were entering commands to
right.
do everything.
Right.
But you have to learn it. It's as simple as that. You
mm-hmm.
have to bite the bullet. Now, an individual person.
I'm more concerned
not a problem.
About. I'm more concerned about compatibility with programs that I've been using for a while.
Oh, you won't. I don't think you'll have a problem there.
So if I've got PageMaker 7.0, which I still use, while everybody else has moved on, you think I'll still be able to use that?
You might want to make sure you get a 32-bit Windows 7 machine and not a 64-bit.
So that's a big deal, isn't it? And we'll come back. I'm going to get you to explain that to us. Folks, Alan Friedman is our guest. He's our technology expert. We'll be right back. Stay with us. Welcome back. It's 23 after. I'm Jim Blasingame. Thanks very much for staying with me. My pleasure to continue to be with you. If you want to check out my website, I hope you'll do that at smallbusinessadvocate.com. And don't forget to subscribe to my free newsletter. Check out all the other things you can do there. And if you're on Twitter, you can follow me there at Jim Blasingame. Alan Friedman is our guest, folks. Alan is editor-in-chief of Computer Desktop Encyclopedia. Alan, tell us how we can find you online.
Computerlanguage.com.
computerlanguage.com, and of course his work is all over the internet. People use his services and the resources that he provides, that he publishes, he and his organization publishes, is all over the place. And so hope you check that out, computerlanguage.com, and wherever you see him. Alan, when we went to the break, I was asking you about backward
compatibility.
What's it called?
Compatibility.
Compatibility, but there's a, what's it called? Backward compatibility. All right,
mm-hmm.
that's the term. And so with some of my software, and you said that if I get the new equipment, the new PC, the new laptop, which is what I'll do, I shouldn't get the 64-bit, I should get the 32-bit. Tell us the difference.
Well, 64-bits means it's just the next evolution in the hardware. It's just faster processing. Just like when we went from the first microcomputers, the Apple IIs, which were 8-bit, and we went to 16-bit
right.
with the PC, and we went to 32-bit later with the more advanced chips,
right.
and Now, 16, you know, we'll have 128 bits sometime in the future,
right,
and so forth. But the only problem is it depends on how old your applications are. You really shouldn't have much compatibility issues, but if you have a lot of older, let's say, 16-bit applications,
right,
you might have to. And then what you have to do when you get with your brand-new Windows 7 machine is download a compatibility program from Microsoft, which is free, that mm-hmm. puts XP back in the machine.
Ah.
Now, you can do that, too.
And does it stay at XP, or can you go back and forth?
You can go back and forth. But you're just in a compatibility mode.
I see.
But I haven't done that. So I can't tell you exactly much about it.
So
it'll be a little better. It just less headache, possibly.
So, but what's the 64-bit going to do for me that a 32-bit isn't?
That you will notice only that a few seconds of speed here and there that you'll never really notice.
Is it worth the money?
It's not all that much more expensive, really. Ultimately, 64-bit will be all there is in time.
But maybe for some people like me, maybe the 32-bit is the first next step.
Yeah, you can't go wrong with it.
Yeah.
Can't go wrong with it.
Okay. All right, that's good information. What about phones? What about handhelds? What's the future in that?
Well, as you well know, the Android is now giving the iPhone a serious run for its
money. The Google operating system. I use it. I like it.
Yeah, and that's going to be I think it's just going to be between the Android and Apple. The A's.
Yeah.
The big A's mm-hmm. are going to have it in the handheld department. The BlackBerry, of course, BlackBerry is popular because it's been around for so long and corporations aren't going to ditch it. But I think the real excitement is going to be in the iPhone-Android competition. And I think it's really good for Apple, or it's good for consumers, that there is something similar to the iPhone
right.
that has some advantages, such as a replaceable battery, which is a real
pain. Now, that's a big deal right there.
I bought
an extra battery because one thing about the Androids and the iPhone software is it does so many other things that it does consume a battery. I mean, it will use, you know, when I had a BlackBerry, I could go 2 or 3 days with a charge.
Oh, yeah.
I could literally take a 2-day trip with a full charge and never take a charger with me.
But I'm not talking about just being able to put a battery in because you're running out of juice. I'm
yeah.
talking about the fact if your battery goes dead,
yeah.
you cannot replace the battery.
In an iPhone.
You have to go into an Apple store.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, you cannot. Well, you can if you really know what you're doing, but
right.
it's not advisable.
I didn't know that. But with a Droid,
absolutely.
You just swap the battery out.
That's right. Same with the
Android.
iPhones are like iPods. You can't go in there and replace the battery.
That I didn't
is
know
a real, real negative.
I knew you couldn't replace the battery, but I didn't know you couldn't recharge it. Wow.
Well, you can't recharge. There's no replacing. You have to recharge it in the phone, so there's no replaceability.
Yeah. Yeah.
Batteries do go dead in a year or two sometimes.
Right, yeah.
They're hoping you're going to ditch the phone and before the battery is a problem.
Well,
you
need to understand with a smartphone like the Android system or the iPhone system, you are going to be more tethered to your charger.
Oh, definitely.
You're going to spend more time with that.
Yeah, pretty much everybody takes it in as soon as they come home at night. They put it in the charger.
That's what I do.
Absolutely.
I plug it right up and or in my car. But sometimes even then I forget about it. But you're going to be lucky to get. You might get 24 hours if you're not doing a lot on it. But if you're doing very much at all, you're not going to get more than 12 hours out of it.
Well, you're lucky to get a regular shift, and you should also reboot the phone every night.
Is that right?
Yeah, you're running a computer. It's not a phone anymore. It's a computer.
So I should reboot it then?
You should.
You mean just turn it completely off and turn it back on?
That's right. I've had lots of problems that were solved by rebooting the machine every night.
Ah, very interesting.
That's right.
But I like my Android software. It doesn't do some things like the BlackBerry did that I had for years, but I like all the other capability I have, and it's a great, let's talk about search. The voice search, the audio search that you can do. If you tell it pepperoni pizza in Peoria, it'll bring it up.
Yeah. Yep.
Hey, Alan, now you're going to come back. You're going to CES, Computer Electronics Show?
Consumer Electronics Show in Vegas.
In Vegas. You're going there soon, and you're going to come back and tell us about it.
I will do that.
Hey, thanks, Alan. Take care of yourself. Happy
Thank
New Year.
Thank you very much, Jim.
See ya. Alan
Happy
Friedman,
New
ladies and gentlemen. That's computerlanguage.com. Check that out when you get a chance. Quick break. Stay with me. I'll be right back.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.